I'm going to talk just a little bit. Normally my sermon is 4 or 5 pages. I've got 2. All right, so that's a good thing. For all those people that know me, they're happy about that. This semester has been a lot of fun. For those of you that are regulars here, you can tune out for 60 seconds. For those that are guests, welcome. We're so glad you are here. Thanks for coming. Thanks for getting ready on a Sunday morning. Thanks for making the trek over from wherever you live. I am not sure about what your Sunday morning normally looks like, but whether you attend services on a Sunday morning somewhere or not, you are so welcome here. I'm Sobek. I'm the minister here. If you look around the room today, we have some people that are so important to Kids Zone and to making it happen. Those people are Carol McClelland, Patty Thompson, Roxy Morell, Donna Simmons, Judy Bolton, Doris Diekman, Preston Hubbard, Remy Bolton, Aaron Thompson, Paul Henry, and Tim Kerr. I just want to thank those guys. Thank you. Promise today I'm going to keep it short, but I do have to say something. That's what they pay me for. So, here we go. 1 John 5:1-12 says, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus Christ was revealed as God's Son by his baptism in water and by shedding his blood on the cross. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And the Spirit, who is truth, confirms it with his testimony. So we have these three witnesses, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and they all agree. Since we believe human testimony, surely we can believe the greater testimony that comes from God. And God has testified about his Son. All who believe in the Son of God know in their hearts that this testimony is true. Those who don't believe this are actually calling God a liar because they don't believe that God has testified about his Son. And this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life." In Kids Zone this semester, we went through the letter of 1 John. John is the author of the Gospel book John and the book of Revelation. And he wrote this letter to the early church. He was defining what it means to be a Christian. And he kept coming back to 3 main ideas. Being a preacher, I love that. Because as everyone knows, a good sermon has 3 main points, right? So I'm going to quickly share those with you. John taught us that the Christian life is marked by, the first one is true teaching. Verse 1 says, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God." This story of Jesus is for everyone. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Greek there is literally the Messiah. Anyone know what the Messiah means? Anybody? What does the Messiah mean? What? The Anointed One. Very good. John, the overachiever there, he said the actual definition. The Anointed One, and that doesn't help, does it? What does the Anointed One mean? It doesn't until you put Jesus with it. Jesus' last name isn't Christ, as some of you may think when you hit your thumb with a hammer. It is actually a title. It is a title. Jesus is really saying Jesus the Messiah, which is Jesus the Anointed One from God. So when someone is anointed, they are set apart for a purpose. What was that purpose? Well, let's look at verses 5 and 6. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus was revealed as God's Son by His baptism in water and by the shedding of His blood on the cross. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And the Spirit, who is truth, confirms it with His testimony. So what was the purpose that God had for His Son? What was the plan for Jesus from when Adam and Eve ate that fruit? Jesus was to go to the cross. That was His mission. That was the plan. That is what He was set apart for. That is what He was set apart to do. Jesus was to take our place, to take on the punishment that we deserve. That is the true teaching. A Christian is marked by his grasp of this teaching. A Christian has a mission as well, and that is to teach others what he knows. And at the core of this is that Jesus came to earth, he lived a perfect life, he died for us on the cross, he rose again, and he's coming back. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back for us. And if a Christian can know that, can teach that, can keep that in front of them, then we really have something. We really do. The second thing in 1 John that we looked at is this idea of true living. True living. Verse 2 says, "We know we love God's children if we love God and obey His commandments." Loving God means keeping His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. So you might be asking, well, what are God's commands? Aren't they throughout the whole Bible? Are they the Ten Commandments? Aren't there like 400 or 500 commands in the Old Testament? It seems overwhelming, doesn't it? When I was in high school, I quickly found the greatest way to the greatest resource ever for English class. How many of you guys know what I'm referring to? Cliff Notes. I'll tell you, Cliff Notes were the greatest thing ever. I'm trying to read The Grapes of Wrath. Oh my goodness. Trying to read War and Peace or something like that, and the weather is nice outside, and you're like, this isn't working for me. I don't feel this. Forget about that. I'm getting the Cliff's Notes, right? I had some smart teachers, though, and they could figure out pretty easily if you were using the Cliff Notes or not, probably because once you start using the Cliff Notes, you become like the greatest scholar on the book ever. You're like, yeah, the symbolism behind the grapes of wrath is, you're like, what? This guy can't even add 2 + 2. What are you talking about? Probably because all of a sudden, you know, students used them and they start becoming, geniuses. But the Cliff Notes are pretty awesome. And when we, in all real life, we all like it when something is boiled down to us, when something is summed up for us. So let me do that for you. You want all 400, 500, 600 commandments in the Old Testament? You want all boiled down to one sentence or one phrase? It's this: love God and love your neighbor. That's it. A lot easier, isn't it? Now you don't have to read the Bible. You should. But I'll give that to you. You know, you want the Bible summed up? Love God. Love your neighbor. That's a pretty good thing to do in general, isn't it? It's a lot easier. I mean, it's not easier to do, of course, but it's easier to remember. True living is living our lives understanding what a huge debt has been taken away from us. And because of that, we live to serve other people. We love unconditionally as God unconditionally loves us. We forgive big because God forgave us bigger. We listen to God. We talk with God. We try and follow where He leads us. And that can lead to a crazy life sometimes. Our family is living proof. A year and a half ago, we moved here from Syracuse, New York, because we felt like God was calling us to a place we'd never heard of before. Bowen Christian Church in Bowen, Illinois. We're like, I have no idea. Is that in St. Louis? Like, where is this place? And then coming up and find out, it's nowhere near anywhere. It is literally in the middle of Mike McClellan's ranch. You know what I mean? That's where it is. It's like, there's cattle all around, and there's farmers and tractors everywhere. But we have found this place to be home. We have found this place to be full of people that love God and love their neighbor. It's such a good place to be. It's such a wonderful place to be. Last year was the hardest, and so I'm sorry for those of you people that listen to me every week. Sorry. We had the hardest year of our lives last year. And we had a baby born at 24 weeks. And it's supposed to be 40. It's a lot of weeks to be early. And like 3 weeks ago, we got to bring that little boy to church. And it is the people of this church. It is the prayers of this church. It is the love and support of this church that carried us through. And that little boy looks just like me. And he's got a dent in his head, which I'm all mad about. No, he's the cutest little friendliest boy ever. And he's making all kinds of noise right now. But that's what it is. True living is loving God and loving your neighbor. And the people here at this church have done that so, so well. And our family is indebted to this congregation. And I'm telling you, if you don't have a church family, this is the one to be at. This is the one. You don't have to come on Kids on Sunday. You can come back anytime you want. And you'll see that we're going to love you the same on Kids on Sunday that we will love you next week, and we'll love you 10 weeks from now. If you need a place to be safe, to ask questions, and to explore a relationship with Jesus, this is it. And all the while, people will love you unconditionally. I promise. The last one is true loving. Verse 11, and this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. We show that we love God by obeying His commands. So we love God by practicing true teaching and practicing true living. We love God by reaching out to others. We love our neighbors by teaching them the truth about Jesus. We love them by showing the grace and mercy and forgiveness that God has first shown to us. Here's the real truth. We only know what true loving is because of how much God has shown His love for us. Romans 5:8 says, but God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Later on in verse 10, it says that while we were still His enemies, Jesus died for us. God loves you. He loves you so much. He gave up His one Son, His only Son, to be a ransom for you, to be a ransom for me. We have all sinned. We all deserve a much different fate. However, God showed up. God gave us an escape. He gave us Jesus. Salvation is for everyone. However, not everybody receives it. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today? Do you know Him this morning? Do you know the forgiving power of Jesus? Do you know what unconditional love is like? Because I tell you what, you look all over the world, you're not going to find it. But Jesus has it. The Father shows it. He shows it to me every day. He offers it to all whom would accept and believe in the name and in the power of Jesus. If you don't hear anything else today, hear this. God loves you, and He wants to know you. Get to know Him. Jesus, we love you, and we thank you for the cross. We thank you for the power of the resurrection. We thank you that you showed your love for us by stretching your arms out and dying. But that's a sad story if it wasn't for the rest. That you raised Jesus from the dead and you conquered sin and death forever. Father, may we reach out and accept that love that you offer us so freely. In the name of Jesus, we pray.